Time for the crime report, brought to you by the Crime Stoppers. Subject 1-800-220-TIPS 220-8477. All calls kept confidential, and a reward issued for up to $5,000 for info leading to an arrest. Joe Jacklone, of course, retired sergeant, NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and he's an author as well of the Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators. It is a bestseller. Edition number 3, the aforementioned Sarge, also a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am okay. We got a chock full of stuff to get to, my friend. So let's get into the Capitol attacks and everything else. There is a lot of trepidation, Joe, with the inauguration coming up on Wednesday. There was an excessive amount of online chatter. The head of the FBI coming out yesterday, Christopher Wray, they pretty much say they have everything in hand. You're seeing the fencing. You're seeing the National Guard, the troops. I mean, combined more than Iran and Afghanistan. I mean, it's unbelievable. Iraq and Afghanistan as far as the troop station. In the Capitol area there, the building in and around, it is unbelievable. Fencing putting up, you got the guards on patrol last night. They're sleeping in the building pretty much. That's how dire it is right now. You know, the chatter regarding the 50 state capitals, the inauguration set for Wednesday. I mean, it's unreal. What are you seeing right now? This is incredible.
It should be. I mean, after what we witnessed a couple, you know, let's say about 10 days ago, you had to. I mean, there was some issues that we dealt with. Listen, if there's a silver lining in every cloud, then this one is that law enforcement was woken up in their slumber and now can focus on extremism and terrorism in the United States again. I mean, it seems as if they fell asleep at the wheel after, you know, the whole 9/11 bit, and they just kind of like let this thing go. We know it was an epic failure of planning what happened with the riot, the Capitol riot. We understand that, but the swiftness of their recovery and the arrest that they're making is a good sign, but we need to make sure they keep the pressure up. Now, the one thing that they've done so far is, you know, that I don't like is that they shut down many of the social media sites. I don't know why they didn't wait till the inauguration before doing that, because, you know, people were planning things and saying things out in the open. Now you're forcing them underground, and I think that you lose a lot of intel in that respect, and I don't believe that was a good move.
An excellent point. And folks, this is coming from one of the big-time experts in this country regarding this. That's an excellent point. You know, speaking of that, you know, reading where the NYPD, Joe, I'm sure you read this, they actually made some calls a day prior or so regarding intel that they gathered and passed on. That is not getting a lot of play as far as how the NYPD gathered some of that intelligence.
No, it's not getting a lot of play, and including the FBI had warned the U.S. Capitol Police also. The U.S. Capitol Police, however, did not either. I don't want to say ignore it because I don't know, but they kind of said, like, we got it kind of thing. But there is a lot of working parts here that we need to know the answer to. Like, so did the mayor have any input into what was going on? The mayor had put out a memo saying that basically if you want any extra people from outside of Washington, D.C., you basically got to go through her office. So was anything done, or did they just say, like, you know, we got to handle it? It was a definitely something that they underestimated. Let's put it that way. Here we're looking at now what overestimation looks like. And you know what? When you're dealing with the inauguration of the President of the United States, overestimating is a good thing, especially in light of what just transpired.
A long time. I'm not one that subscribes to conspiracy theories, but man, I tell you, it's either they let their guard down in incredible fashion or somebody knew something and are not saying anything. You know, it almost seemed like it could be an inside job here. Is that in the realm of possibility to think like that?
Well, like I said, I'm not a conspiracy guy either. All I can tell you is that just looking from the law enforcement perspective, this was a they dropped the ball, major drop of the ball. I mean, it already cost three people in the Capitol Police their job, the chief, the sergeant at arms, and another person. So, you know, if they wanted to sabotage themselves, then okay, great, they did a good job. But this is, I don't think that's really the angle that I'd be looking at over here. I'd be looking at the politicians in regards to what were their actions about how to keep this. Because remember, the mayor of D.C. was very outspoken about how the police policed crowds during the Black Lives Matter protests. And, you know, she painted the Black Lives Matter banner, you know, in front of the White House. And she did a lot of things that, and said a lot of things about the police that, you know, even make you want to wonder if she had some sort of input in what didn't happen here. That's the part of the investigation. Listen, we need a complete after-action report about what happened here. And it has to be nonpartisan, right? So we need people on both sides of the aisle to do this so that they can make a full investigation, because we can't allow something like this to happen again. Jay, I think I said it last week. Could you imagine if this was a well-armed terrorist group that had planned this? I mean, every one of those senators and congressmen would be dead right now.
And infiltrate their way into that crowd. Who would know? You know, I mean, they planted pipe bombs and everything else. Unbelievable! The circumstances could have went south so quick. You can't even fathom what could have happened here, Joe.
Well, including, you know, the arrest. They made the arrest of you know, one of what we refer to as the zip tie guys. There were two of them, and he was a retired Air Force officer who carried you know, those zip ties you saw, and his plan was to take hostages, the prosecutor said. So, I mean, we speculated that, but, you know, now the prosecutor is saying it. So this was going to be something a lot worse than it was. And I know you never want to say, well, we're lucky that we, you know, this is the only thing that happened. There's still an officer died, another officer committed suicide. They had a couple other people that died during the riot. And you have all of these investigations now that are going on. I'm just waiting for who's going to be charged with murder. Now, technically, you could charge scores with people with felony murder, because if you are in the act of committing a felony and somebody dies, it's an automatic murder charge. So it's going to be interesting to see how the prosecutor is going to handle that aspect.
That really will. And, you know, listen, Wednesday is Inauguration Day. So, you know, buckle up. Hopefully nothing. As far as what we saw on January the 6th, I'll tell you that much. Joe Jacklin on the Crime Report. Joe, let's move on to a couple other stories here. The man out of West Babylon facing a judge first time. Horrific story. Hit and run. Killed a mother. Having her kids in a stroller was Amagansett. You know, the guy fled the scene, this Mark Corrado Jr., he left the scene. He came back, turned himself in, thank goodness. But nonetheless, a mother is dead. Just a horrific story out east a couple of days ago here.
Yeah, no, I mean, and there was a couple of things. There was another West Babylon where the car went out of control and crashed through somebody's house. Yeah, this is something that we talk about on a weekly basis, the hit and run bit. The issue that comes down to is you make it 10 times worse when you flee. I know people panic and they get, but it's just, it's never good. It's never a good idea. Just stay at the scene and then deal with the consequences afterwards. You only compound it more, and the court is not going to look upon you kindly. Let's put it that way.
Tough deal. And listen, I get it. You know, some of those roads are very narrow, but you got to be careful out there, folks.
And generally the issue there, you know, you have to.
Yeah, you can't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, 100%. You know, you go around those curves and everything else. You got to be very careful out there. Let's go to a story. Again, it did get a lot of play. Didn't get a lot of play, Joe, where federal authorities are indicting top leadership now, the MS-13 gang in El Salvador. The hope is to hold their trials here on the island, Central Islip. So you got 14 gang members charged, numerous counts, by the way, terrorism. The case was supervised by prosecutors here on the island and in Washington as well. And negotiations are on the way to possibly extradite them to this country. Joe Jacklin, the Crime Report. Ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-220-TIPS. let's move to another genius here. This HVAC technician stealing more than $100,000 in jewelry. Five homes he worked at last year. And then we go to pawn shops and sell them. Obviously, he wouldn't get value at all here. So Christopher Fitzgerald, a 39-year-old out of East Quogue, in some trouble here. He was arraigned yesterday. But quite a case, you know, stealing jewelry now out in the Hamptons area there.
Well, you know, here's a suggestion for people. If you have somebody that's working on your house, you stay close by. Don't leave anything that could be tempting out. The best way of being to avoid being a victim of a crime is to make sure you take care of your own stuff. And sometimes just leaving somebody there and say, all right, I'm out of here, unless you know them for a long time. And even then, you know, you got a point where you just don't trust anybody anymore, specifically when you're dealing with your own home, because that's your castle. You have to make sure you keep everything safe in there. Just take things out of sight. Put them in drawers, whatever you want to do. But just, you know, at least you don't have to hover over the person, but just, you know, come back every so often. Be unpredictable. This and that. Just check on, hey, how is everything? Would you like some water? Would you like a cup of coffee? You know, those are the kind of things that you can do to prevent yourself from being a victim of a crime.
Clone, the crime report. Joe, a story that broke late yesterday. A guy from Melville indicted now. The charges of child pornography in connection with a sextortion scheme that was carried out on social media. So, 27-year-old, his name Bradley Guerin, facing 27 counts after his indictment before a Suffolk County Supreme Court justice there. Another one of those stories where you have this guy who solicited increasingly explicit photos and videos in exchange for higher amounts of money, up to $500 or so, according to Tim City.
Yep, extortion is the way to go, and it's a grand larceny charge. Not too many people realize that extortion is not the charge, but grand larceny is. So, Tim City has done a pretty good job taking over the Suffolk County DA's office. I mean, that's his real function there. I mean, he's a lawyer and everything else, so he's doing a good job. And how much every week we have some sort of fraud or some sort of, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And he really has excelled with this stuff. There's no question about it. Give him credit where credit is due. Let's go to another story here regarding the Attorney General of New York, Joe. And that's Letitia James. There is a suit going on regarding the NYPD. Did you read this one?
Oh, yeah.
You know, give me your thoughts on this. Let's recap a little bit for the folks out there. Go ahead.
She's suing the NYPD because of how they handled the Black Lives Matter protest, basically saying that, you know, the police were overly heavy-handed or whatever you want to, I guess, police brutality, whatever you want to call it. She doesn't really come out and say it. But, this is just, and she wants to put a civilian monitor. The NYPD already has a civilian monitor. The looting and everything else that was going on, what do you want the police to do in a riot? Now, we saw what happens when the police don't handle a riot. We saw that happen in D.C. Do we want that to happen in New York City next? I mean, they already were, kind of kid gloves issues with a lot of the protesters. I mean, geez, I don't like where we're going with this, how to police civil unrest and where we're headed with it. I can tell you right now, if this goes through, the NYPD is going to be on some basic, lack of better adjective, flat-footed the next time the riot comes around, because they're not going to know what they can do and what they can't do. So it's going to be interesting. I think that this is just bad timing, and it's also bad policy. I mean, we saw her make some bad policy when she was in the New York City Council, right? So we have some issues to go through here, and let's just see what happens when the judges, what they think.
Joe, I'm sorry. I can't take this woman seriously anymore. I don't know what she's doing. You know, where she is investigating, I need some answers. Example, perfect example, New York American Water. Where's her investigation come out there? Madam Attorney General, you know, quite frankly, it's just another way of grandstanding. You know, the NRA stuff, the nonsense there, trying to grab a headline or two. Now you're trying to put yourself at the forefront with this stupidity. I mean, what would you like the cops to do here? What would you? I mean, how much can you handcuff a cop? New York Council, you know, banning chokeholds, yet it's okay for the other side to chokehold a cop. I mean, at what point do we toss this lunacy out? I mean, this is nothing more than trying to grab a headline. I'm sorry, it's the way it is. Listen, I have to like her personally, but man, I'll tell you, some of the latest stuff I can't figure out with Letitia James, you know? I can't. It's ridiculous. It really is. I can't figure it out. So the beat goes on, Joe. It really is. To me, it's just grabbing a headline from here. Joe Jack, a couple of more for you, Joe. Skeletal remains found in Center Reach. They determined that there was some violence involved. A home out in Center Reach. You read that one from Thursday. Go ahead.
Yep. No, like I said, so we have this, they found some new evidence. Suffolk County detectives are working on it, and what happened was in J Road in Center East from last March. That's the case we're talking about, right?
Indeed. They found sneakers and everything else. A kid was somewhere in the, I guess, his mid-teen years, somewhere around 15, 16, 17, around there.
Yeah, they're saying now 15 to 21, he's either white or Hispanic, and he's about 5'3" to 5'5". And they said he was dead for at least a year. So this is now an unsolved, unidentified human remains case that works. You know, we got to find out who he is first before we go on further. We saw when we talked about the Manaville case about how not identifying somebody into the public. You remember that case we talked about where the other girls were found from Gilgo?
Yep, absolutely.
This is the kind of information they need to be putting out on a case like that, too. If you want to identify somebody, this is the only way to do it. So they have a sketch artist come in, and they draw the face, what they believe it looked like, and then all the different markings and clothing and shoes that the person was wearing. So if you have a chance, people should go online and take a look at it. And I'm sure Crime Stoppers has something on this, too. Remember, it's Crime Stoppers Month also in the U.S. So it's just another way that we can try to help identify this family and give the family closure, excuse me. So, you know, to take a look at the pictures and the information, maybe somebody can help out.
No question about it. One last thing, Joe, you have a great neck woman, the one who fatally stabbed a tourist. Remember that one? A British tourist visiting her home will be confined to a state psychiatric facility. The ruling was on Tuesday by a judge who previously found they're not criminally responsible, by the way, for murder. It was due to mental illness there. You know, that was the case, this Faye Dumchin stabbing a 61-year-old. I guess a moment of psychosis a couple of years ago, suffered from schizophrenia, apparently, for decades. So that was the case there. No surprises there, but extreme mental impairment going on here with Faye Dumchin.
Yep, absolutely. So, and this was definitely a court battle prior to what even happened. So, and it's a very rare case, I know, in television. Those kind of things come up often, but they're actually a very rare defense that comes out.
Hey, Joseph, great stuff. A lot on the plate. Hopefully smooth city come Wednesday. We'll see. And if I need you, I'll call you for that. We'll talk to you in any event next Friday. Thanks again, my friend.
You got it. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All righty. Crime Stoppers, Suffolk, 1-800-220-TIPS. The Crime Report, great Sarge, Joe Jackalone.